Let me pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Like the two letters of Paul to Timothy, who was in Ephesus, the letter to Titus in Crete is not tightly organized. Paul can deal twice with the one subject in a single chapter. The last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 2 and verse 15, orders Titus to teach the things Paul is about to spell out in today's and in next Sunday's passage. Titus has all authority to encourage and rebuke the Christians in Crete. How Christians behaved in contemporary society was of very great importance in leading others to follow Christ. Christians are to be subject to rulers and authorities, as Paul writes in verse 1 of chapter 3. Moreover, Christians should be ready for every good work. Indeed, the theme suggested for this sixth passage from the letter to Titus is, as Ben mentioned at the start, devoted to the good. The Cretans might be turbulent enough to implicate the church in political agitation, and Titus is to discourage such political agitation. The chapter begins with that in our modern Bibles. Christians are to be peaceable and considerate and always to be gentle towards all people. The challenge for us later Christians, a couple of thousand years later, is whether we have drifted back into a worldly pattern of thought and conduct. Paul reminds Titus that he and Paul were once foolish, disobedient, and led astray, just like others in the Christian community. And we, thousands of years later, like Paul and Titus, need to take some responsibility for not being compliant with what God wants. Previously, Paul and Titus were slaves to various passions and pleasures. They and others passed their days in malice and envy. They were hateful or odious, as well as hating one another. Verse 3. Paul makes strong use of we in verse 3. We is already there in the ending of the verb. The Greek and Latin verbs have different endings, and you know the first person plural, we, has a particular ending. It's already there in verse 3. But Paul strengthens it. He adds, we too. So Paul is including himself in the criticism. I was surprised to open up my Greek text several weeks ago and discover that verses 4 to 7 of Titus chapter 3 were in poetry, like the early Christian hymn to Christ in Philippians chapter 2, which we sometimes read instead of a creed in our Sunday services. In this poetic burst, verses 4 to 7, Paul echoes in the first two verses the action of God. He says that when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. This salvation was not because of any work of righteousness which we had done. No, it was according to God's renewal of us by the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Here the reference to washing no doubt refers to baptism in water, which led to regeneration of the believer. And this Spirit of God poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We are justified by God's grace. God's grace and God's mercy are crucial. The intention was that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And Paul caps off the poetry when he comes back into prose by emphasizing that the saying is absolutely sure. So as John Stott points out, we have to come to terms with the concept of salvation. Why salvation is necessary, where it originates, what it rests on, how it comes to us, what it leads to, and how it proves itself. The content of the hope, as is said in verse 7, is eternal life. But action on this hope is necessary. In the rest of verse 8, Paul says that those who have come to trust in God should be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things, Paul concludes, are excellent and profitable for humans. Paul wants Titus to repeat and promote what Paul wants the Christians in Crete to do. As Ben has reminded us more than once, Crete is a long island in the Mediterranean Sea, south of the Greek mainland. It's about 250 kilometres from west to east. It is, however, quite a short distance from the northern coast to the southern coast in many places. Joan and I were taken by bus from Heraklion on the northern coast, which is the site of the remains of the Palace of Minos, to the start of a gorge at 1,200 metres above sea level. That's further up than Armidale, for example. We walked down from there through what is the longest or the second longest gorge in Europe, the Samaria. Samaria is that we think of as Samaria. And that name for the gorge comes from the church that was founded there when the Christians were subject to Muslim occupation in the island of Crete. So the Christians built a church there. Samaria is our version of Samaria. And it was in the gorge. So if enemies came, they could go up. They couldn't climb the gorge, but they could come from further away and gradually get themselves up on top of this passageway and hurl stones down on them or hurl spears on them. The gorge takes 5 to 7 hours to walk, but has towering walls and walking paths, lovely walking paths beside the creek for long distances. At the end, the beach consists of black sand, but the water is beautiful. We were picked up from the beach by a boat that took us to a nearby town, and another bus took us back to where we were staying. Now, on an island the length of Crete, there must have been quite a few churches for Titus to visit and impress on the elders, who would in turn urge the Christians in those churches of Crete that they should devote themselves to every good work. At the beginning and the end of today's reading from Titus, Paul urges that Christians do good. In verse 1, Titus is told to remind others that Christians should be ready to do whatever is good. Paul commits to Titus the message that elders are to urge the members of their church to be submissive to rulers and authorities. They are not merely to submit to rulers with whom they agree. The Roman imperial court and Roman governors in the provinces made many decisions that Christians would find difficult. But Roman officials had the power to punish inhabitants by crucifixion, as we know, and in gladiatorial contests in Colosseums. There were occupational armies in many of the Roman provinces. In the modern world, how would this apply? Well, churches should do things like building churches, repairing churches, extending them according to the city or municipality regulations. And in verse 8, Titus is told to stress that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. I wondered how this might apply to us. For example, groups of us might talk to each other whether at Wilton or at Picton, about what would be good to do in our community. The two communities are going to become quite different, aren't they? This one's going to massively increase in population, and this church is going to have to be replaced with a much larger one, and so on and so on and so on. This is one situation in Wilton, and we could discuss among ourselves how we could do good in that community. We could talk about the social climate in our community, how we may better implement the gospel of Christ in our neighbourhood. The community kitchen at St Mark's in Picton was mentioned in our prayers tonight, and that community, each fortnight, reaches out to those who need help with food. They pay something like $15 and can pack a bag with $40 worth of food. Another thing that I'm conscious of is grieving with those who have lost a loved one. That grieving can continue long after a funeral. A couple of people I talk to are men who have lost their wives some years ago, and they still miss them terribly even now. And there are some elderly people who cannot easily get out of their own house, and whom it is really rewarding to visit and to chat to them. It's been mentioned before that Myrtle and I used to take communion to Sharon's mum as she was becoming less and less mobile. You know, we would go for several hours and she didn't leave the lounge because it was just so hard. It was a big thing, and she needed, of course, somebody to come in and help her shower and so on, or have a bath. So that is something else that is good for us to do, to care for those who are elderly, and it is actually very rewarding for us. So let each of us work out what is the good to which we shall be devoted. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for saving us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, and for making us heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Help us in our community to devote ourselves to doing what is good. Amen.